Cost. Got a lot of announcements to go over today. First and foremost, today will be the congregational meeting to approve the budget and the candidates for the next council term. Immediately following the service, 11:30 to 1:30, we'll be having a drive-through vote where you can come by and drop off your ballots. Today at 3 o'clock, the handbells will practice. We're needing at least 10 to 11 people that are willing to come and practice a couple Sundays to make some recording music, right? We're going to record some music to put out during the Christmas Advent season. So if you're interested and want to come play handbells, we'll see you at 3 o'clock today here in the sanctuary. Please wear a mask if you come to handbell practice. November the 22nd is Christ the King Sunday. November 29th starts the first Sunday of Advent. December the 6th will be your last days to order your Christmas poinsettias. The Christmas poinsettias during the drive-through will be handing out the order form. I know we're not able to join together, but we would still like to do the poinsettias at Christmas. You can make those payments through the Breeze, send a check in through the post office, or come by the church office and get with Latifa to fill that out. December the 14th, we'll have a council meeting at 7 o'clock. All incoming council members, new council members that are voted on today are asked to attend that meeting. That's December the 14th at 7 o'clock at the church office. The Recreation Committee is doing a drawing for a gas card. We'll have tickets available. They are available at the church office Tuesday through Thursday. We'll also have some at the drive-through today to where you can come by, purchase those. February the 7th will be our annual audit. All committee chairs, treasurers, make sure you have your audits together and ready to go for February the 7th. Look for the schedule to come out so you'll know what time to be here to do your audit. One thing we always do during the Christmas season is the angel tree. We have chosen to continue that, even though we're in the not able to attend the church. So we're getting that together. There'll be an announcement made once we get the angel tree set up and installed. You can come by and get your little card off the angel tree. If you're not able to come by, we'll have it set up to where you can call Crystal, myself, or Latifa, and we'll be able to help you out with that. We are happy to say that our blessing box that we've been working on for over a year has been installed. It is out at the main road. We are going to add this to our time and talent sheets to cover and stock the blessing box. So look for that on your time and talent sheet if you are willing to do that. Looking over my notes, make sure there was a whole lot of announcements, I believe. And Chip asked me to talk about YouTube, and I forgot. We are live on YouTube. There has been some links sent out so you can sign in and watch it on your TV at home or your handheld device. If you're having trouble getting signed on, give Chip a call, myself. We can help you out. And I believe that's it. Anybody has anything else? I'm sorry? We have Advent material that we will distribute during the drive-thru. I believe that is it. We will have the congregation meeting immediately following the service. And we'll do birthdays and anniversaries. Happy birthday to Jennifer Davis, Robin Beck. Happy anniversary to Rose and Elisa Summer. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us join in confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading comes from the book of Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guest. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind. Because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath, in the fire of his passion. The whole earth shall be consumed, for a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord. The Psalms today is Psalms 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back you mortals, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You swept them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath, we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath, our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80. If we are strong, even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Second reading comes from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. For it is as if a man going on a journey summons his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? And you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord. I have to tell you, Andy had encouraged me to take advantage of this day for a really long and impressive sermon. But I said no, I didn't really want to take advantage of people in that way. So I'll try not to do that today. These lessons are among the lessons that come this time of year that I always think when we read them, man, you know, the gospel of the Lord, yay, we're all going to be thrown in the outer darkness. We're all going to be rejected. We're all shut out of the banquet. Thank the Lord. Not very cheerful readings when we come to the end. This time of the year, our lessons focus on Christ's second coming. It focuses on the world in which we live. And the psalmist writes, for 1,000 years in your sight are just like yesterday when it is past, like a watch in the night. As we get older, I think that sort of applies to some of us, because the days seem to fly past. And we live in a world of instant gratification. You send a text and you expect a response in seconds. You type a few words into a search engine, Google or one other, and you have almost unlimited resources to help you immediately. We buy a book from a bookseller. It's downloaded to a reader instantly. Seems like we don't have to wait for much of anything anymore. Various shippers advertise same-day shipping or next-day delivery. We're used to instantly getting what we want. In our story today in the gospel, a wealthy man is preparing for a long journey, and he entrusts his estate to servants. 3 servants receive shares according to their abilities. The first receives 5 times as much as the last, but each of them has a huge amount of money. A talent was equal to about 6,000 denarii. That was 20 years worth of wages for the average worker. So depending on how you estimate, and there are various scholars who do those estimates, the value would have been at least equivalent to $500,000, and some places say it would be $1 million or more for each talent. That's a huge quantity of money. We're talking about a master who truly trusts his servants. They are people that he believes will care for his charges, what he gives them to do, very carefully, that they will be able to achieve success in caring for his things while he's away. One of the gifts that he gives them that we don't think about, probably in this case, is the gift of time. He gives them time to invest the money. He gives them time to do something with it. And 2 of them do that. So you have this master who has given these people a vast amount of money, and he gives them a significant amount of time to use that money for something productive. The master is very generous. We think about the generosity of the money, but I suspect we don't always think about the generosity of the time. But in this parable, as in the 2 parables that we've read just before this one over the last 2 weeks, we've seen that some of the servants are faithful and some are not. Some do what's expected and some do not. The two that invest the money that are productive, the master says to each that they should enter his joy. He praises them for what they've done. The third, not so much. The third has taken the money and buried it. Now, my parents grew up in the Great Depression, and my understanding is in those days that would happen. People didn't trust the banks anymore, and they would bury their money in their yard somewhere, or they would hide it in a mattress. In Jesus' day, that was done. Jesus even told a parable about someone finding a fortune buried in a field. The master is furious. He trusted this person. This was someone who had worked for him. He trusted him enough to give him, say, $1 million and say, do something with this. And what did the servant do? He did nothing with it. He buried it in the ground. Now the servant then blames that on the master. He says, I knew you were really a harsh man, so I was afraid to do anything with it. So it's really your fault, not mine. Now, do we really think the master was that harsh a person? Perhaps. The only evidence we have is this one man's statement. But the master says, you say I was like this, why then didn't you do anything? You didn't even put it in the bank where it would earn interest. You did nothing with this money. So he takes it from him and gives it to the other person and says it casts him in the outer darkness. Now, lots of times this is seen as a parable about God. But Matthew sees this as a parable about Jesus. Now, do we see Jesus as harsh and unforgiving and bitter? Did he show that throughout this time of his ministry when he healed the sick and fed the hungry, forgave the sinners? The master expects the servants to continue his business, to take risks as appropriate, to emulate his behavior. Now, this story is one Jesus tells to his disciples right before he's to be arrested and killed. He is leaving them. He has trained them for 3 years. He entrusts them with the gift of the church, he says, and they will become the foundation of that church. Jesus announces his kingdom. And when he leaves, he charges the disciples to use what he has given and taught them to spread the kingdom. To spread the kingdom. Certainly, we can't interpret Jesus as a hard slave master who demands unjust practices and profits. He is instead someone who is filled with grace and mercy, which he gives to those whom he teaches and meets, including the disciples. And he charged the disciples to be faithful servants, to share that which he had left with them, with others. He would say, in fact, on another occasion, anyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. The obedience of trust in Matthew is not a burden or a fearful endeavor, but rather it calls from us the joy of discipleship, where everything is given, the gift and the interest, even the gift of time to make a difference. A writer named Frederick Dale Bruner sees this parable and the gift of the master as a symbol for grace. Giving that much away shows the master's complete confidence in these people, as Jesus had confidence in his disciples. The question for each servant is not what he will do with what he's been given, but does he realize how much his master trusts him? The third servant not only hid his talent, he buried it, and in a sense buried himself. The third servant is not, in that understanding, so much condemned as he condemns himself to a place, a life that knows no joy, that knows darkness and wailing and fear and grinding of teeth, a life that he creates himself out of his fear and his unwillingness to share the gifts Christ has given him. Near the end of C.S. Lewis's book, Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan the Lion takes Lucy, Edmund, Peter, and everyone else to the new Narnia, what we might call heaven or new creation. It's a place of light and beauty, a place where every blade of grass seems brilliant and real in depth and color. The daisies in the field take your breath away for the sheer beauty of this place. And then amid all the splendor, the children see a group of dwarves huddled together, convinced they are sitting in the rank stench of a barn, so dark that they can't see their hands in front of their faces. Lucy is so upset that they're not enjoying the new Narnia that she begs Aslan to help them see. Aslan replies, "Dearest Lucy, I will show you what I can do and what I cannot do." He then shakes his mane, and a sumptuous feast appears in front of the dwarves, a plate heaping with juicy meats, fresh vegetables, clumps of rice, a goblet of fine wine. The dwarves dive in and start eating, and then they start gagging and complaining. "Doesn't this beat all?" they lament. "Not only are we in this stinking stable, now we've got to eat hay and dried cow dung. Even the water is dirty water from a donkey's trough." Aslan goes on to tell the children that the dwarves had chosen suspicion instead of trust and love. They were prisoners of their own mind. They could not even see the gift Aslan had given them because they wouldn't see it. Aslan can do nothing to separate this from this hell of their own devising. Could it be that this servant is so fearful that he can't even see the blessing he's been given? His view of life is filled with suspicion and distrust, and he's not able to enjoy the goodness of life. What about us in this challenging year of 2020? Are we filled with suspicion and fear and doubt? Or do we recognize in the midst of all the things that have happened, Christ is still working and still calling on us to make a difference in this world? God has not abandoned us or forgotten us, though you would think that to read some of the things you read these days. God's love is still there. Christ's salvation is still there. We are still called to be His servants, His disciples, and to share that good news and that joy, and to continue to produce what Christ sought to produce, a better world for God's creation, salvation for sinners, and hope for all of us. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the church, the world, and one another. Father, thank you for entrusting to us the treasures of your kingdom and the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for commending wise risk-taking and condemning fearful inaction. Give us grace to be faithful stewards of your bounty, to your glory, for the good of your people. Lord, in your mercy. Give your church pastors, bishops, and theologians who fervently proclaim your word of law and gospel. Make Holly Grove a congregation in which we learn, strive, and grow in taking risks in your service. Help us to be daring and bold in forgiving one another, in telling others about the hope that is in us, in shining the light of Jesus' holy love, and in easing the burdens of others for whom he gave his life. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who have been richly blessed with skills as well as material and spiritual gifts. Guide them in using their gifts to your glory for the benefit of others. Give them the grace to value what you have given them and to use all their resources to their best. Lord, in your mercy. Give teachable minds and willing hearts to the leaders of the nations, especially those who were recently elected. Remind them that they must give you an account of their stewardship of power, authority, and talents. Do not let them squander these gifts through hard hearts, rivalries, misuse, or disuse. Give to all of us the gifts of kindness, humility, and generosity. Lord, in your mercy. Various abilities are needed by those who risk their lives to protect the lives and liberty of others. Lavishly grant them all they need. Use their skills to bring calm in chaos and justice in troubled places. Lord, in your mercy. We beseech you to come speedily to the rescue of all who cry out for healing of body, mind, or spirit, especially those in our weekly prayer list and those near and dear to us. Deliver them from their afflictions and restore them to the fellowship of all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy. Keep in your sheltering arms all those who have died trusting in your promises, as you have called us to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths yet untrodden, through perils unknown. We pray, give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love is supporting us, until at the end you bring us home, through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend our prayers. Graciously grant all that glorifies you for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Prepare to receive communion. You will come forward after we complete this and take the small chalice. If you turn it upside down, you'll find a tab to pull off for the bread. When you turn it over, you'll pull off a tab for the wine. I ask you to come forward in family groups and to social distance as you come forward. We will also be blessing the communion that we will use for those who come this afternoon. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Together saying the mission statement, as united people of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord.